We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall never surrender until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of people.
In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left. On today's show, Jerry Falwell Jr. says his wife had an affair with the Florida pool boy and claims that they were being blackmailed. The story gets uglier and more graphic. Why should we care, and how should the Christian community, how should the church respond? I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Welcome to today's edition of The Rebellion. The topic, unfortunately, is Jerry Falwell Jr. again. The news out today is that he's telling the world that his wife apparently had an affair with a Florida pool boy, and Falwell is claiming that he and his wife were being blackmailed by this man because of the affair. Why he feels it's necessary to tell the world about it, I don't know, but he has, and therefore he jumps to the top of the news again today. So why am I covering it? I think it's necessary for us to have a discussion of what we do when our leaders fall and when they compromise the ideals of the church, of the body of Christ. What are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to expect of them? How are we to handle it? What does the Bible tell us about this? That's what I'm going to deal with today in this show. I'm going to try to end with an upbeat here rather than just railing and being negative against someone who has some negative things going on in his life, some baggage, if you will. Rather than just pointing that out, I'm going to move beyond the story quickly and talk about how we are to choose our leaders and what we should expect of them. It's very clear in Scripture. It's very clear. The world may be confused as to what they should expect of their leaders, but we should not be. Before we get to the topic, remember that the number is 918-756-3646 if you want to call in or text in your questions or comments. Also, remember that you can contact me at drevertpiper.com, drevertpiper.com. That's my website. And you can communicate with me there. You can listen to The Rebellion live every Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Central Time on KOKL Radio 106.3, 1240 on your dial. That is essentially south of Tulsa, Okmulgee area. And if you can tune in with your radio in that broadcast range, you can listen to it that way, or you can listen to it online, regardless of where you are. And that is found via listentothebrew.com. I'll say that one more time, listentothebrew.com. You can go to the Washington Times. They feature The Rebellion as one of their podcasts. And by the way, my article that I wrote this last week on parents being disengaged in education, it was basically yesterday's show, is hot right now. It's getting tons of traction with the Washington Times. Apparently, I hit a nerve. So you might want to go engage in that and see what people are saying about the discussion that we're having here on The Rebellion. All right, back to the show. Oh, I'm going to talk to you about our new new newsletter for the subscribing members of The Rebellion. I think you're really going to enjoy this. If you subscribe to The Rebellion, you get an autographed copy of my book, Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth, or my first book, And That's Why I'm a Liberal and Other Conservative Ideas. And at given levels of subscription, you also can engage in monthly dialogue via Skype or Zoom with me and the other members of The Rebellion that are subscribing at that level, where we can, as the Proverbs tell us, as Solomon told us, as iron sharpens iron, we will sharpen one another in our Q&A and our dialogue. But there's also a newsletter for subscribers. And in that, I include things that I don't talk about on the show. For example, I'll recommend given books, and I'll take quotes of those books and tell you why I think they're important. At least they are on my list. They're at the top of my list in terms of books that you should read. A hint. I won't give you everything in the newsletter. You got to subscribe if you want it. But the book that I feature in our first newsletter is The Great Divorce by C.S. Lewis. It's one of my favorite books. He nails it. He nails it in terms of where we are as human beings in our struggle to worship ourselves or to worship God. Also, I will feature some of the things that might be helpful for you to be watching, documentaries. For example, The American Gospel, 1 and 2, The Christ Alone and Christ Crucified. Excellent documentaries. And I tell you why. And then The Chosen, the TV series that's on. And I also give you some personal updates and things like that. So I really think the newsletter will be something that you're pleased with. And I think you'll enjoy engaging with that. So subscribe to The Rebellion. Go to patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper. Okay, let's get to the show. Too much time on the taking care of our housekeeping today. Forgive me for that. The show. I'm going to share with you what the actual news is. I'm going to go through this story. August 24th, 2020. This is Yahoo News. It's out there via other news sources too, but it's basically all the same. So here's the story. Suspended Liberty University leader Jerry Falwell Jr. confirmed to the Washington Examiner columnist Paul Bedard late Sunday that his wife, Becky Falwell, had an affair with a young man they befriended and went into business with in Florida. So anyway, there's stuff there on that too. I talked about it in the previous show. They went into business 8 years ago. In a long statement. Why does he keep issuing these statements? Falwell said he and his wife forgave each other. He suggested he had also important smaller things to atone for. Don't know what that means. Quoting a Bible verse about visual adultery. Pornography? I don't know. And he had decided to come forward because his wife's former lover had been extorting them for huge amounts of money to stay quiet. Just tired of it, said Falwell to Bedard. Falwell said the young man, his name is Giancarlo, I hope I'm not butchering that, Giancarlo Granda, had created Fatal Attraction type situation, referring to the famous 1987 movie in which a jilted extramarital lover boiled a pet rabbit, among other acts of retaliatory intimidation. Granda, 21 at the time of the affair, told the Examiner in an email that an allegation of extortion was false and it's defamatory and belied by clear documentary evidence. So this is not going to go away. Falwell is accusing this guy of extortion, and he's saying it's not, it's false, it's defamatory. He's probably going to sue because of that, and it's belied. Falwell's claims are belied by clear documentary evidence. Adding to that attempt by the Falwells to sandbag me, said Granda, with this last-minute story just reeks of desperation, and the whole truth will come out. Ugh, I just feel like I need to go take a shower. More. Here's the story. More. The salacious nature of the relationship between the Falwells and Granda emerged when Michael Cohen, the former fixer and lawyer for President Trump, told comedian Tom Arnold in a secret tape conversation that he had destroyed risque personal photographs involving the pool boy on behalf of Falwell's weeks before Falwell unexpectedly endorsed Trump for president. Falwell said Sunday he was not involved in his wife's inappropriate personal relationships with Granada and mentioned fantastic and prurient untrue aspects of the relationship based on the individual misrepresentations. What the heck does that mean? Oh my. Liberty University is a conservative evangelical Christian college founded by Jerry Falwell Sr. The university confirmed Friday that Falwell has been placed on indefinite paid suspension while the university investigates various rumors and claims, quote unquote, about him and decides if he will be fired. By the way, this is in the article, Falwell makes, you ready? $1 million a year as president of Liberty University. Falwell is 58, and he's been on leave since apologizing for posting and then deleting a photo of himself with his arm around a woman, both their pants partially unzipped at a Trailer Park Boys costume party in the 164-foot, six-bedroom yacht owned by NASCAR mogul Rick Hendrick. Falwell's family has reportedly been taking family vacations on the yacht since Liberty University signed a multi-million dollar sponsorship deal with Hendrick Motorsports. My guess is that deal is going to be called into question very soon. End of story. All right, why so much time on this? Oh, we could pick it apart sentence by sentence. Number one, this is a Christian leader who has a track record of questionable things. When he endorsed Trump, he went to Trump Tower to get a photograph with him and his wife, Falwell and his wife, standing with then-candidate Trump in Trump's office. Well, in Trump's office, he has framed all of the magazine covers that he was featured on over the years, Time and Newsweek and whatnot, People or whatever magazines have featured Trump on the cover over the decades. And in that picture with Falwell and his wife and Trump, that wall of all those framed magazine covers is behind them. And right over Jerry Falwell's shoulder in the photograph is the magazine known as Playboy, where Donald Trump was featured. If you just look at that, the lack of discretion, the lack of self-awareness, the lack of integrity, the lack of leadership, the lack of being exemplary, to stand in the office with anybody, smiling and yucking it up, patting each other on the back where there's a framed cover of Playboy right behind you. I take issue with that. Then we have the situation with Trailer Park Boys. We've talked about that. And keep in mind that Jerry Falwell Jr. is the one who made that news by posting it on Twitter and then taking it down. But first of all, they were having a party where they were mocking white trash, quote unquote, Trailer Park Boys in a very debauched and sexually hedonistic way. Why is a Christian leader having a party about Trailer Park Boys, a theme party about Trailer Park Boys, about sexual debauchery, bisexuality, you know, just moral wantonness? And he's standing there with his pants undone and unzipped, with a young woman next to him dressed the same way. Why did he post that? Now, I've had people challenge me and say, well, we just need to forgive and move on. Forgive, yes, but hold people accountable. We've talked about that. You can forgive your son or your daughter for making mistakes, but you hold them accountable. Because if you don't, they never learn, they never grow, and they never change. A good parent understands the dynamic between forgiveness and accountability. Forgiveness and accountability. Discipline and love. The Lord disciplines those he loves. He just doesn't forgive, forget, and let us go on and not learn our lesson from the mistakes that we've made. Forgiveness, yes, but consequences. And in this situation, the consequence has to be fire this man now. And why he's making a public issue of his wife having an affair with the pool boy, and then going into details about prurient and untrue aspects of the relationship, and how there are photographs of risque personal photographs, and then talking about visual adultery. I wasn't involved with them in this relationship. The 1987 movie, Fatal Attractions, bringing that up. The extortion. Why is this an issue? Why should we care? Bottom line. The church needs to be better than this. And that's very clear. That's a very clear teaching in Scripture. And we need to hold our leaders to a higher standard than the world. We need to hold Jerry Falwell Jr. to a higher standard than we hold Donald Trump. I'm going to say that again. Jerry Falwell Jr. is an outspoken Christian. He is one of the nation's Christian leaders. He is the president of the largest Christian university in the nation, I would argue probably the world. Jerry Falwell Jr. is at the pinnacle of Christian leadership, and we hold him to a standard. We choose those leaders, we fire those leaders, we hold those leaders accountable, we discipline those leaders, we treat those leaders differently than we treat the leaders that are outside the church. I can support Donald Trump's policies, even though I disagree vehemently with Donald Trump's personal life. Oh, you say it may have changed. I don't know if it's changed or not. You're right. He hasn't been accused of anything since he's been in the Oval Office, but his language, his demeanor, his attitude, and his temperament is not Christ-like. But I'm going to vote for him. Don't panic. Don't get all uppity-uppity on me because I just criticized Donald Trump. We should criticize Donald Trump when he's wrong, and we should thank him and applaud him when he's right. Many of his policies are right. He is pro-life. He is pro-religious freedom. He is pro-small government. He is pro-First Amendment and Second Amendment. He is for the Constitution. This is a covenantal platform. And I will vote for Donald Trump, but I will hold him responsible for his behavior. So I can support him as a leader. I can vote for him as a leader because I honestly don't have any other choice other than the platform he represents. And if I just walk away and wash my hands of Donald Trump and say, oh, I can't support the man, then I'm aiding and abetting the Democrats who are, quite frankly, debauched and evil in almost every way. I can't sit back and let that happen. So yes, I'll vote for Donald Trump. But Donald Trump and the leadership of the world is very different than the leadership of the church and the leadership of the body of Christ. We need to hold our leaders to a very different standard. A very different standard. How so? It's outlined in the Bible. So we're going to take a break right now, and we're going to acknowledge our sponsors. And when we get back, we'll talk about what the Apostle Paul told us, what he said to us in the epistles of Timothy and Titus with regard to Christian leadership. Let's take a couple minutes to acknowledge our sponsors. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Welcome back to The Rebellion. In the first half of the show, I obviously bemoaned Jerry Falwell Jr., and I'm not all that happy. I assume many of you are just tired of his dirty laundry being waved in front of our noses in public. And here it gets uglier with regard to him going public and telling the world that his wife was having an affair with a pool boy and going into some odd details about some of the things that were going on in their lives at the time. But what are we supposed to do about it? Well, the Bible tells us what to do about it. This is a leader in the church, and we're supposed to handle leaders in the church in a very specific way. I'm going to refer to an article in desiringgod.org. Desiringgod.org, it's written by David Mathis. And he asks this question. If you tried to capture in one single term, one specific qualification for the office of leadership in the church, what would that be? Would it be confidence? Would it be a gifted teacher? Would it be the facility to lead others? Would it be someone who he must aspire to work? He has aspirations for the work. In other words, he wants it. He wants the job. He wants to lead. But these things aren't what Paul says. He doesn't say that in his epistles to Timothy and Titus. In fact, if you open them up, there are two specific lists of qualifications in 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7 and Titus 1:6 through 9. And the specific qualification that leads the list in both of those letters is this. He must be above reproach. Excuse me. He must be above reproach. 1 Timothy 3:2 says, an overseer must be above reproach. Titus 1:5 through 7 says this. This is why I left you, so that you might appoint leaders in every town as I directed you. If anyone wants to lead, he must be above reproach, not open to any charge of debauchery or insubordination. For a leader, as God's servant, must be above reproach. He says it twice. If you would be blameless, don't pretend to be sinless. If you'd be blameless, don't pretend to be sinless, but do with your sin what God in Christ would have you do. This is what Mathis is telling us in his article. I need to be quick here. So let's go on. In both lists, in Titus and Timothy, above reproach comes up repeatedly. Above reproach is an umbrella term for all other requirements that follow. This is an essential requirement. What it entails is spelled out in all of the attributes that follow. Above reproach is a nondescript thing when you first read it. It's fleshed out by specific traits that Paul talks about. This banner qualification of above reproach is not just being innocent or righteous or acquitted, but it means that you're above being reasonably charged with wrong in the first place. In other words, you don't even let people think you're doing anything bad. You don't get on 164-foot yachts and party. You don't have themes about debauchery, about trailer park boys. You don't post pictures of yourself and your pants undone on Twitter. You don't stand in somebody's office with pictures of Playboy behind you. I mean, you could go on and on and on. This is not above reproach. You can be technically innocent and say, well, I wasn't having an affair. I wasn't doing anything with this woman. But that's not the issue. Leadership has to be above reproach. Anything that's unnecessarily controversial betrays immaturity and a lack of wisdom. We want the kind of man whom no one suspects of wrongdoing in the first place or immorality. And that's not going to happen when you're posting this crap out there about you. You should have the wisdom to step back away from that stuff and not do it in the first place so that you will be above reproach. This is what Paul is telling us. This is the standard for the church. We don't have any option if we're Bible-believing Orthodox Christians. We need to attend to what we're being told here. You must have a leader who is not called into question due to his way of living. He must have a reputation. He must have a reputation for being a man of integrity, not a man who's constantly calling into question what he's doing in these situations in the first place. Mathis says this, we are looking for men who will not be reasonably charged with wrong in the first place. Public accusations or suspicions against a man may well mean it was unwise to appoint him to the office. If you're constantly being publicly accused, and if people are suspicious about what you tweet or what you post on Facebook or where you have your parties or how much money you're making, you might be in a situation where you need to change the leadership that's calling these things to the public attention. The lists of qualifications are summarized with above reproach. There is no requirement here for particular achievements and formal education, world-class intellect, or oratory skills, or the giftedness that comes with just being the common man. Above reproach means that we are looking for a normal, healthy, model Christian. Fundamental leadership is an exemplary function. Examples of the kind of increasing Christ-like life must be in those who we hold up as leaders in the church. In essence, above reproach means that when this man is in the public eye, people think they'd like to be like him without having to make any qualifying statements. Above reproach in Titus 1:7, communicates modesty and humility. It's an overseer, a steward of what God has given him. Steward is not a king. He's not a star. He's not a performer. He's not a partier. He's not in the public eye. He steps to the side and lets the focus be on God and the organization he's stewarding. Part of stewarding is not drawing inordinate attention to yourself in the first place. Above reproach is a lifestyle in which Christ calls his people to live. Paul speaks to everybody, all of us that are listening to this show and all of us that are following the story, Jerry Falwell, you and me, when he says that Christ has now reconciled you in order to present you holy and blameless, and get ready for it, and above reproach before him. Blameless is another way of saying above reproach. You're not perfect. No one is. I'm not. But we can be blameless. We can be blameless in Christ if we handle our sins the way he tells us to. 1 John 1:7 says this, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness." Again, we're looking for leaders who are normal and healthy, model Christians. Those people that know they're not perfect, but they confess their sins privately, and they don't air the dirty laundry publicly, and they don't keep doing foolish things that are unwise and arrogant. They are humble. They are stewards. They're not kings. They're not presidents. They're not kingmakers. They're above reproach. They're blameless. So do with your sin what God in Christ would have you do. Admit your sins and confess them and walk in the light. And when you are at fault, admit your wrong and seek peace with God and men and be quiet and accept the consequences. Accept the consequences. And in this case, the consequence of doing these things so publicly means you lose your leadership. Forgiveness, yes, but consequences. In Hebrews, the Lord disciplines those he loves. And you could turn it around and ask the question, if he's not disciplining you, is it evidence of a lack of love? The Lord disciplines those he loves. A father disciplines his son, consequences for his son, because he loves his son. The bottom line is all of us who are in leadership within the body of Christ must be above reproach. And it's the church's obligation to discipline and to administer the consequences to make sure that leadership is held accountable. I'm Dr. Everett. This is The Rebellion.